Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, you know, Pat, in God's news behind the news, CBN is reporting about what is happening in Egypt. Mm. You know, since the Muslim Brotherhood was just taken out of there, they had that revolt. I mean, the Muslim Brotherhood was there, mm-hmm. who our president basically put there when he empowered the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. This was a strategy that's occurred over some time, but it resulted in the Muslim Brotherhood taking power in Egypt. Not only did they have power, but they started to exercise that power, obviously not in a good way. And hundreds of thousands of people on the one-year anniversary of President Morsi, who was a part of the Muslim Brotherhood, mm-hmm. of him being president, they were marching in the streets, they protested, and they removed him. They removed him from office and mm-hmm. disempowered the Muslim Brotherhood. But what was interesting, because you haven't heard this before, what was interesting during that time is that they were saying, why is our president, United States president, supporting the Muslim Brotherhood?
Right.
Why is he supporting terrorists? We don't want these folks. We banned them out of Egypt. And look what's happening. Right now, Egypt is trying to find its way. It's still a place of turmoil. It's still a place of unrest. Mm-hmm. And CBN is reporting that Egyptian Christians are being dragged and beat in the streets. They say that radical Islamists continue to attack and brutalize Christians in the southern part of Egypt.
Wow.
And this is not good. There is a Barnabas Fund, I believe, out of the UK. And this is what they're reporting and they're sharing. But militant Muslims have kidnapped, they've beat, and they drag these Christians. And all of this is in connection with the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, they even dug up the corpse and dragged. Listen, they dug up the corpse and dragged it through the streets. Mm. Again, to terrify. The whole purpose is to terrify local Christians. There's about 20,000 Christians that have already fled this city. This was going on. They already fled. And many of their churches and their homes and their businesses were destroyed by, of course, the supporters of Mohamed Morsi, which is the Muslim Brotherhood. Hmm. Listen, there is a strategy if you are a believer. And if you're a believer in the United States and you're looking at what's happening in the world, you can't have the perspective and say, oh, those poor people in Egypt. Hmm. That's coming our way.
Right.
Those are our brothers. Those are our sisters. And we need to stand in the gap and be ones that say, listen, if you've done it to them, you've done it to us. We are one in Jesus Christ. And we're going to pray for the persecuted church. We're going to pray for those that are being tormented for the cause of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we're going to support policies in this nation and get our representatives to do something about, my goodness, what's happening in Iran? I mean, President Saeed is still, it's been over a year, he's an American citizen. Mm. I mean, you would think, you know, with one phone call, you can have an American citizen who didn't break, you know, any laws except talk about Jesus in your country, and you would have him sent over. And this is the thing that gets me, rights for all citizens. If it was a diplomat's child, if it was somebody else's child, you know, person, a family member, rather, mm-hmm. maybe children a little different, but let's just say, let's make it equal, okay? Another mm-hmm. family member, would there be any other type of treatment? Why are we not getting everything that we need out of this administration to get an innocent man out of prison?
Right.
In a country that we know is hostile to Christians and even to people in their own citizens.
Right.
Listen, this has to stop, and we're going to get chance to talk about this soon, but we're going to talk about the persecuted church. The church has a long history of being persecuted. You know, back in 68 AD and during that period of time, I mean, there was major persecution with Nero. I mean, Nero used to light. This is how horrific. This is how the devil hates your guts. Mm. You got to hear this because you're made in the image and the likeness of God, and you can't be deceived to think that that's only going to happen to those people over there in another country. Mm-hmm. Listen, if we don't turn our hearts, the devil has the same plan for us. Look what happened to the Jews. All 6 million of them that were gassed. I mean, we learned yesterday, if you missed VFN radio, you got to listen. 46,200 concentration camps. 46,200 concentration camps. And where they gassed the Jews, and within 30 minutes of them coming off the train, 30 minutes, they were being gassed. Mm. Listen, JJ, Jews and Christians, Jews and Jesus, listen, it's not over. Mm. So Nero would take Christians, mm-hmm. and he would put them on a cross or some sort of pole in his garden. And he would stick wax in their shirts, wax in their stuff them full with wax. And he would light Christians on fire for the purpose of illuminating his garden. This is how evil, how evil Satan wants to destroy you. And we need to get a proper perspective about this. I believe that it was under Nero that Paul was killed, and Paul went through extreme persecution. Mm-hmm. There's persecution that's happening all over the world, the persecution that's happening in China. There's a book called The Heavenly Man, and the gentleman in there, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal book. My wife, Teresa, read it, and she was sharing with me of all the miraculous things that God brought this man out of, but he was held captive, he was arrested, angels escorted him all over different places, but he was, tortured. We talked about Dmitry Dudeman. Mm-hmm. Dmitry Dudeman, I think he was shocked with electricity so many times that his teeth fell out.
Right.
And for years he had silver teeth or some sort of, not real teeth. I think they were silver teeth. Later on, someone paid to get his teeth replaced. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. Listen, it needs to be hard for us. If you're an American Christian, it needs to be hard for you to say your name and the word suffering in the same sentence. That should be a hard thing for you to do. Mm. When you look at context of history, when you look at those today, those that have gone way before us who have suffered for the cause of Christ, and let me tell you, one day we're all going to have to give an account. I don't want to be sitting there, Pat, next to Paul one day, at a table, we're kicking back.
Right.
And Paul's talking about all he endured for Christ, mm-hmm. and the pleasure it was to do so.
Right.
And I don't want to be talking about complaining about air conditioning. I don't want to be up there trying to talk about, the inconvenience of whatever, you name it, in America. Uh-huh. And we didn't get a chance to suffer. Listen, it's your joy if you have the joy to suffer for the cause of Christ, not for suffering for something foolish that you've done. But for the cause of Christ. But this is a major, major thing that happened. And during that time, by the way, about 70 AD, also when Nero passed away, Vespasian was the Roman emperor at the time, mm-hmm. and Jerusalem was coming down. I mean, the Jews are revolting, they were fighting. And, we're just learning a little bit about church history and what has happened. We're hoping to bring this to you in a fuller context to kind of give you perspective and to share with you, how far this goes back. Mm-hmm. But the Romans were taking the Jews out, and they were finally saying, that's it. Mm-hmm. They're fighting back, and Jerusalem came down and the temple was destroyed. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the significant turning points, because at that point, Christianity was kind of like an offshoot of Judaism, but the church started to spread under great persecution, to grow. And listen, if this is what it takes, I don't want to have to suffer. I'm not the one signing up for it, But if we have to suffer, if we have to suffer so that those that don't know him can come into the kingdom, my goodness, what great honor. When you look at Wycliffe, when you look at Tyndale, and those that suffered and went through extreme, they dug them out of the grave and burned their bodies. They choked them, wrapped their hands. Satan used someone's hand, because they need a host. Satan used someone's hands to choke one of these men out. Wow. Because the word of God went forth. And let me tell you something. We need to stand. Mm-hmm. We need to stand. We need to stand. There's ever was a time for you to stand. Let me tell you, it is today. Things are changing. Things are turning. And it's time for us as believers not just to look at what's happening at other people and saying, oh, you know, that's what's happening in a foreign and a distant land. Mm-hmm. It's for us to say, no, listen, starts with me. I'm going to commit to praying for the persecuted church. I'm going to commit to praying for those that have been taken advantage. I'm going to pray for those that are least in my society. And I'm going to pray that if I ever have to face persecution,
right.
If I have to face persecution, that I can stand in the face of it. I think about the Columbine when those young girl, I forget her name, but when mm-hmm. she was asked, you know, are you a Christian?
Right.
She yeah. said yes. Yeah. And one of the boys shot her dead. You know, if you're asked, are you a Christian? Because you don't want to be ridiculed at a workplace. You don't want to be left out. It's not politically correct. Don't say no. Don't deny Jesus. Listen, if you can suffer a little ridicule around the water cooler at work, a little ridicule at your job because you wear a cross, a little ridicule because you say that you're a Christian, mm-hmm. because you pray for your food, that is nothing. That is nothing compared to all of those that have gone before you, those that have been tortured in their bodies. And if we could suffer just a little, listen, you don't get any points for suffering. Mm-hmm. You're not earning anything here. But my goodness, we have to have perspective for ourselves. We have to have context to say, God, I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to shrink back. If I lose everything, I am going to stand with you all the way to the end, Jesus, because you not only have stood for me, but you have died for me. We were just talking about the persecuted church and what was happening in Egypt right now. Christians are being beat. They're being dragged through the streets. Their corpses are being dug out of the ground, and they're being dragged across the streets to torment the other Christians in the area. And 20,000 of the Christians living in Dalga, city of Dalga in Egypt, they've already fled. This persecution is happening in Syria, where over 100,000 people have been killed during this civil war. You know, it's happening everywhere. It's happening everywhere. And listen, you want to stand. You don't want to be an American Christian, if you will, and you don't want to be one that is afraid to suffer.
Right.
He's afraid to suffer and say, oh my goodness, I didn't have cold water. I didn't have whatever. It's embarrassing. Right. Commit today and say, you're not going to use your name and the word suffering in a sentence ever. You know what I mean? Listen, I'm trying to avoid for myself and maybe for any of you who are listening today, any embarrassment when we sit before, the Lord, let's just say Paul, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And Paul's talking about the pleasure it was to offer his body as a living sacrifice, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is what it is. It's to deny ourselves so that Jesus Christ can be glorified. You don't get any points for suffering. You're not earning anything with the Lord. But listen, the Word of God tells us that if we live godly lives, there we, you know, you will suffer. You will go through stuff. Mm-hmm. The suffering is not a sign that you did something bad. Maybe it's just a sign of that you're doing something good.
Right.
So you just kind of continue to stay and stand. And God will pull you through it. And you can be like Paul to say, I want to know you. Mm-hmm. I want to know you in the fellowship of your suffering. And it's another perspective on just knowing the heart of God. And also, we're going to make this related for you on the torch. But you got to listen to yesterday's program. The title of yesterday's segment that really relates to this, and we talked about the Holocaust, is It's Not Surreal, Sir. It's Real. Don't let your senses fool you. 46,200 concentration camps and ghettos during the Holocaust. You know, Greg and I had a chance to go to the Holocaust Museum in Manhattan. Beautiful building. I mean, when you finish the going through it, which is very emotional, it ends in this room upstairs that has windows that overlooks the Hudson. And you look directly at the Statue of Liberty. It's just,
oh wow!
It's just a it's therapeutic, if you will, because you're just going through this emotional thing the whole way, and then you're coming into this awesome light and, mm-hmm. you know, looking at it. And but when we were going through the tour and looking at the pictures and reading and looking at some of the things that they had in this museum, one of the information they read there, that the reason why some of the Jews didn't leave prior to was because they didn't want to leave their stuff.
Oh, wow.
They didn't want to leave their things and their stuff. And they said, no, it's, you know, it's going to work out and what have you. And it didn't. Mm-hmm. And if you missed, you know, the extra hour, we're talking about who's the shot caller in your life. I mean, if God's calling the shots, you're going to follow the Lord. And so if you follow the Lord, he'll lead you and guide you out of certain situations, mm-hmm. you know, but maybe they were following some of them were following themselves, but some of them stated that they didn't want to follow. I mean, they didn't want to leave because they didn't want to leave their things.
Right.
And so, listen, don't let your things, the things that God's blessed you, you know, be an entrapment towards you. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, it's just some stuff. It can be replaced.
Yeah, really.
But live your life for the things that are, you know, eternal. You know, things that are internal and eternal. God, live for those things. And at the very end, you'll have a life that was worth living. And the Word of God says, live a life worthy of the calling that you received. You have a call to know Jesus.
Right.
And if you live that life worthy, you give him 100% of your life. Let me tell you something. You're going to enjoy the life to come.
Mm.
You know, you can, it's all about, you know, let's try to minimize the regrets. You know what I'm saying? Avoid tomorrow's regrets today by saying today, we choose to follow the Lord.
Right.
Today, we choose to make him the Lord, the boss of our lives. Mm. Today, God, it doesn't matter what's happening in society, what's the latest whatever, what's trending. What matters only to me, Jesus, is that you're trending on my heart, that your passion, God, for souls, Jesus, that your passion for the church, that your passion for what's, you know, happening today, for the unborn, that's what matters to me.
Mm.
And when you start carrying the things that matter to God on your heart and they become yours, you're going to see God moving in just greater dimension in your life. And
mm-hmm.
your life will be redeemed. You'll have greater perspective on living because you're living not just for a vacation to go to see some mouse or something. You're not living for the next movie that's coming out. Mm-hmm. You're not living for the insignificant game. And sure, there's, you know, things that we can do with family. We just can't lose sight. That's what mm-hmm. I'm saying. We can't lose sight of what the main thing.
Right.
Let the main thing be the main thing. Jesus Christ and him glorified.
Right.
And I love what the Moravians said as they were being sold, Pat, sold into slavery.
Intentionally.
Intentionally. Sold themselves because the slave owner didn't even want to pay for them to come out there. They wanted to pay for them. And they found that there was a couple of hundred slaves on this landowner's property that could never get off.
Mm-hmm.
And the landowner said that nobody would ever land on this property and preach them. You know, they'll never hear the gospel or mm-hmm. hear God's word. And they had got wind of it. And these two Moravian teenage young men who had families intentionally sold themselves into slavery, knowing that they would never, ever leave this man's property just for the chance, just for the chance to share Jesus with slaves.
Wow.
That action birthed what is known as the Moravian, you know, missionary movement, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, those two young men, they've paid that price. And as the ship was leaving port and the families were crying and waving and they were looking at them, the young men, their image was getting, you know, smaller and smaller mm-hmm. And faint. One of them rose up, as the story goes, and got at the edge of the boat and raised his hand and said, may the Lamb of God receive the reward of his suffering.
Mm-hmm.
May the Lamb of God receive the reward of his suffering. Listen, you're not suffering. Jesus suffered. And we can endure and pray for those intently and passionately that are laying it all down for Jesus Christ. Mm. I'm telling you, these are exciting days to live. And we just don't want to miss it because we got caught up in what the latest, whatever. It's like, there's going to be a lot of regrets later.
I know.
A lot of regrets later. But we can avoid those today.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.